Basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Banter / College Ball Show. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to break down everything basketball related. We got a little NCAA with this G League program that is, well, let's just put it this way. The NCAA chickens / green, the NCAA chickens have come home to roost. Let's put it that way. This thing is a real deal. We've been looking for something to challenge this NCAA greed system, and I think we got it. So that's a couple of different topics we're going to talk about. We are going to lead. If it bleeds, it leads. And right now, the NCAA is bleeding a little bit. Two top-tier players, one guy that's, what, the fourth-rated dude who might be a first round, or he's gonna be a first rounder, but maybe the first pick potentially is not going to college, and he doesn't have to go to Europe or China or anything. He gets to stay right here in the good old United States of America. Okay, so we're gonna talk with that. We got two somewhat high profile guys, Jalen Green, obviously, but when you talk about five star guys going to this G League program, we're gonna tell you all about it if you don't know a ton about it. We're talking money, we're talking a college degree, we're talking about a variety of stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, give a couple of different takes as far as what the NCAA needs to do to fight some of this stuff. And then, of course, we got to talk about the last dance, the Chicago Bulls / MJ / Pippen / I guess Rodman's next week, episode 1 and 2. They're going to do 2 a week for a total of 10. So, and you can always tell when a movie or a documentary is good because sometimes you may pause it to go get something to drink or whatever, and you notice, or just to see how much time is left, and you notice there's like 8 minutes left, and it feels like it just zipped by. So we're going to obviously give our takes on some of that documentary. And then I'm going to give my take on the best college basketball. I'm not going to give a take on it because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the best college basketball player of all time, but I'm going to have a little rant because on Twitter, sometimes basketball Twitter's great. Sometimes you're just like, dude, what are you talking about? So I'm going to list numerous players that a lot of these folks just know from being a professional. They don't even think they really played in college basketball. We got to talk about Pippen, too, in that last dance. So we're going to mix it up, mix it around. My co-host has some surprise gotcha questions for me. He's trying to make me sound dumb. Even though I did really good last week, I'm sure he, like, got these obscure North Carolina, you know, references that I have no clue about or something like that. But anyway, we are back. And once again, we want to, you know, just say thank you. Our thoughts are with everybody struggling right now. Our thoughts with people struggling, whether it's, you know, to make ends meet or struggling at work because, you know, you're an essential worker. So we definitely want to say our thoughts are with you. And we can't really, you know, words can't really describe how much we appreciate you guys listening to the show. In a time like this, we're here for distraction. So that's what we're going to do. So if this is your first time listening to what would normally be called the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, we're just going to call it NBA Banter Podcast right now because there's no playoffs. In fact, we would have came off a Saturday, Sunday, the first two nights of the playoffs, not to rub it into anybody, unfortunately, if you had forgotten about that. But if this is your first time listening to this NBA Banter Show / College Ball Show, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ Rope It Up Radio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters. It's under that umbrella of the Rope It Up Radio podcast. However, you don't have to just listen to it on Blog Talk or download it on Blog Talk if you don't want. You can find it under the Rope It Up Radio podcast, like I mentioned, on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa, to get to Spotify or TuneIn. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. That's thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They got a 7-day free trial. And even when you sign up, the plans start as low as $55 a month. There's no annual contracts to tie you down. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's called AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. However, if you're in an area of the country or in the outskirts of a state or whatever, that, you know, the internet's just shiesty. It's just not that good. It's very inconsistent. It's one thing to go on Netflix or Amazon and stream an archived episode. It's another thing to have live streaming cable. If that's the predicament you're in, you can try a growing platform here, AT&T TV. So that's your normal cable platform. And like I said, it's not everywhere. It's here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, California, all the way up to the Northwest and Seattle, another place like, say, St. Louis in the Midwest. Basically, just Google it, AT&T TV, put your area code in there, see if you got it. If not, AT&T TV Now for that live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host. And sometimes I say check my temperature, but I'm not – check his temperature. But that's kind of a weird thing to say right now, although we should all be checking our temperatures if we're feeling a little hot. You know what I'm saying? How you doing, man? Another week? You know, I was going to say another week, another something, but I just lost it. I don't really know what to say.
Well, you know, I keep running, man. This is I'm 35. This is probably the best damn shape I've ever been in, Chris. It's sad that it took a damn shutdown of the country for me to get in shape, but I knocked off like a 7:45 mile today. So, hey, for us older guys, like, you know, this time I've been making progress, my friend, making progress. And
I got a little static, not to cut you off, but I got some, I don't know what, let me see here. All right, say something real quick or start talking again.
Okay, so does that sound better?
No, it's still staticky. It's weird. I don't have it on my end either. I'm not sure. Sometimes it comes across on this on Skype, and then it's not there on the recording, so it could be that.
Okay, I'm not touching the recovery anything, I hope. Right. So,
okay. Are you, like, in a good range for your, like, what's your bars at right now? Maybe you're just in a, are you in the normal spot that you normally do them, or?
I mean, I'm maybe 10 feet away from where I'm in the living room. I guess I moved to the table today, but is this sounding better at all?
Weird. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Huh.
All right, keep going.
Okay. So it just sounds a little scratchy from my end?
Yeah, like every time you talk, there's a static with it, but it's in my headset, so it may not be anything. It could be just something I'm hearing, you know?
Okay. Well, hopefully that's the case. But, yeah, just been running a lot to keep sanity. You know, as you said, I will say, too, I hope everything's going good. Unfortunately, during this time in our country, it seems like we are really kind of going backwards with people having different ideas. So, you know, some people think, hey, let's reopen. Some people think, let's be safe. Some people think, I'm going to go protest because the president said so. You know, it's such a weird place because we, you know, we do live in arguably probably the best country in the world for all the freedoms we got. But, you know, times like this, Chris, you really see that we are completely a free country because we're doing this, you know, really differently. Like it's such a strange perception to see the news and how, you know, and again, like I was talking to my dad.
In the
my
different
dad,
states, you know, everybody's doing a different thing.
Yeah. And I was talking to my dad, you know, I was like, I hate to see people out there protesting because I want people to stay safe. And, you know, his response is, well, you know, if you were a small business owner, you know, and you see your life earnings crumbling away, you'd want to be out there protesting to get back to work too. So, you know, I think that my take of people trying to stay safe, my dad saying, dude, if this was your whole life mortgage, you'd be out there. None of us are really wrong. You know, it's just such a weird scenario. But I do hope that we get some type of help from up top, you know.
It's the people that are saying, I want a haircut. You know, that's not a small business thing.
No.
That's not. Yeah, and I don't know how many small business owners are actually out there, though. That's one thing. You know what I mean? So I wonder how many actually of those people are actually small business owners, because your dad makes a good point, no doubt about it.
Well, and you're right. I truly think these people holding up like the Nazi flags and Trump signs are not representing the small business owners of America. Honest to God, probably those small business people are probably at home hammering on the internet or trying to find ways to keep their business afloat. But I think the message that those people are trying to represent, doing a piss poor job at it, is, hey, you know, let's go back to this. But yeah, when the lady is showing, I need a haircut, like, you know, that's not smart. But I'll make this one point, then I'll get to sports. But watching the news a couple of days ago, they talked about how the leader of Ireland, I'm not sure if that's a president or what his official title is, but he has shifted his whole country's focus to saving people in nursing homes. Like, that is his main goal as a leader of the country, because that's where the most deaths are going to occur. So, again, if we're going to, you know, work our way back to our country's freedom, which, okay, fair, however you want to do it, it's fine. We still need a plan to help people who are going to still suffer from this, you know. So that guy in Ireland's like, dude, okay, I realize that we need to get through this as a country, but let's have a sense of compassion. And I believe he's sending literally all of his extra medical people to nursing homes. See, something like that, Chris, is like, okay, that sounds like a smart, logical plan. And the thing we don't have in our country right now is a smart, logical plan. I would love to get baseball and basketball back in a couple of months, but we've still not heard of a single plan other than, hey, governors, go do it yourself. And this is, I'm not trying to have a huge political debate here, but even if you're a Trump guy, what is the plan we've heard from our leader? It always is like, you know, hey, we're on your own. Each state's different. And Chris, the sad part is that does leave us in situations where, man, I just saw on the internet, South Carolina's opening up beaches and Florida's opening up beaches. Right. And South Dakota has never even gone to shelter in place yet. So if we're going to be this awesome country, it would be nice to kind of get on the same court, just like if we were playing basketball. You know, if we were, if our country right now was a basketball team, we'd have half our team playing zone, half our team wanting to run and gun, and a couple of states wanting to post up. It's like,
some dude eating a hot dog on the sidelines. You know, like, oh, we're playing? Shit, I didn't even know we're playing.
Yeah, and you know, the state of Florida, he's out there streaking on the court, which is highly illegal because you got to wear clothes to play basketball. I feel that kind of summarizes how we're doing right now. But oh well. On a different note, though, as you said, let's get into the big news about the future of college basketball and the G League. I heard this a couple of days ago on a podcast and on ESPN of a young athlete going to play in the G League because he chose that route. Now, this is a route that is allowed by the NCAA. I think that when they allowed this a couple of years ago, or however many years ago it was, they didn't envision this happening, Chris. But this top prospect named Jalen Green, who, as you mentioned, fourth, I've heard even some people say he would have been like the number one top recruit, is now going to play.
And Isaiah Todd, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So a couple of guys are now going to play in a G League team who is actually being created. So they're not going to hop into a team, but there's an LA team being essentially created that these young stars are going to. So, you know, just I'll give one point, I'll throw it to you, and we'll kind of go back and forth. But for one big point, it's okay. You know, every college basketball team has their fan base, obviously some bigger than others. Like, you know, I'm always going to be a Carolina guy. You're always going to watch your Gophers. Like, every team has their fan bases. But there's a lot of college basketball fans who, for example, fall in love with, you know, like the Wichita State year they were undefeated. Or, you know, people fell in love with Zion Williamson. Like, what an awesome guy to back. Even if you weren't a Duke fan, even if you didn't know college basketball, you kept seeing this guy on ESPN who seems to be a likable kid who was just crushing it. And that was a thing that brings ratings up for college basketball, because you have a marketable young guy who appears to be likable and was on a successful team, you know. So now you're essentially, the NCAA is losing two kids who are incredibly marketable. Like, and I'm not saying these guys are going to be Zion Williamson, Chris, but when two of the top four or five or six, however you want to view it, kids are going to play in the G League, which is taken away from your March Madness potential revenue fund, that does become an issue. Because let's say this kid does become a complete stud. And, you know, let's say NBA TV or ESPN find ways to show these G League games. You're now having people who would usually be the, well, I'm going to become a March Madness guy. Now they're diverting their attention more so from college basketball to, dude, I think the Los Angeles, you know, All-Stars are playing tonight, and I got to go watch this kid play. So it's taken interest away from the college game, which has to bother them. But again, and the point I'll make here too, is this kid is getting paid and he has school he can turn to at a later time. So these are all pros from the view, from the views and the vantage point of a college basketball player.
Yeah. And it's legit. It's not just going to the G League or what it used to be called the D League or the CBA. It's not just going there. It's literally, you know, it's a team of, what they say, 10 or 12, or no, it's a team of mix of group elite prospects, a handful of veterans. They'll play 10 to 12 exhibition games against regular G League teams, but also national teams from other countries. So they are going to be traveling as well, which is pretty big. And, of course, we've seen, you know, we've seen some guys go out. I mean, it's not like a brand new thing. Brandon Jennings went to Europe, I think Italy. Emmanuel Mudiay went to China instead of SMU. There was the Baisley dude, instead of going, you know, he took $1 million to do an internship at New Balance last year. RJ Hampton going all the way to New Zealand instead of playing at Kansas, like this USA Today article I'm referencing says. But they just don't have to go anywhere, really. They can stay right here. And it really does seem like a great deal. And it's not just, like I said, some random CBA team or D-League team that you're going against guys that aren't in the league yet. And you may be going against a good – or with a good coach, but probably not as good as a top-tier coach, you know. In the pros for sure too, but in the college ranks too, if you're a top flight player, you're probably going to go, you know, learn from a great coach. And, you know, so you'll also be scrimmaging these teams, but you'll also be scrimmaging your own squads. You're still playing high level guys. You're getting paid, it sounds, right around $500,000 and up to $125,000 for college, just in case it doesn't work. So, I mean, this really seems like a great deal. And the NCAA, you know, writing this USAtoday.com article, you know, you can go to a different link and it says NCAA executives says robust changes to be proposed on athletes for names, image, and likeness. It's like, you damn right you better freaking get on top of this stuff. And they've had so many years to do something about it. And one thing on our show, what we've been talking about is maybe, and this is something I've thought about for, you know, a while, or I've said for quite a while, but I'd be down for tweaking it a little bit, but maybe it's like a bank account and you just keep adding to it. And then when you leave, whether you leave after 4 years or you leave after a year, whenever, then you just get the money. Which, you know, that makes sense to an extent, but the NCAA is going to have to change some stuff. And whatever the system is as far as paying them while they're in college, what, you know, certain stuff out of an escrow account could go to the family to take care of them, you know, in certain stipulations. And they could tweak it to where they could track the money and whatnot to make sure there's not extra corruption on it, but there already is anyway. These guys are already getting paid anyway. Why not do it on the up and up so everybody gets it and it's not such a crazy system? And there's a couple ideas that an athletic.com article talked about with Seth Davis. He wrote it, just to give him some credit. And they're talking about this, like you said, Isaiah Todd is another guy that's ranked like a 6'10 forward that's ranked like 34th and 40th. And he was going to Michigan, and now he's going. You know what I mean? So a couple ideas he brought up that we'll talk about. Well, drafted players should be eligible to be back in college. You know, the funny thing about this is, and it's really not funny, it's just ironic. We talked about this numerous times. We just talked about it before we got on air, and how baseball, college baseball, and college hockey, you know, they talk about, oh, he's drafted by so-and-so, and they get the rights for, you know, as long as they want to stay. Now, you can get drafted out of high school and go right to the minor leagues and work up that way, or if you go to college, you have to stay 3 years. That's the thing, but you are drafted. Sometimes in hockey, it runs out, and then you put your name back into it later. That's happened from time to time. But I like that idea, and I didn't realize that, you know, Larry Bird had actually done that before. And I didn't realize his last year, you know, that Larry Bird's like, no, I'm going to play one more year at Iowa State. But he had been 5 years removed from his senior year of high school because he had originally signed with Indiana and dropped out and spend a year at home in French Lick. Because remember, he was the hick from French Lick, so he went to the smaller school. So he was eligible, but the Celtics picked him anyway, knowing that he would retain his rights until the next year's draft. So can there be something with that as far as a tweak? I think so. There should be no limits on players' ability to work out for NBA teams. That gives you even that much more. Players should be allowed to receive extensive services for agents. I'm in between of that. That goes back to that certification thing. And right now it even says in the article, under these rules and stuff, the certification process, only 23 have actually gone through the whole thing, which, like it says, it's a tiny number considering there's more than 1,000 agents. So, you know, to get more in there and not make it so crooked and corrupt with agents and just to put it right there on the table, I think would be a little bit better. I'm not sure about this one. College players should be able to should be allowed to participate in off-season pro-am competitions. That one's a little in between because you could get injured. So I'm not sure about that, but also just, and like it says here, sweeten the deal for being a college player. And that goes back to, you know, being able to get some money off your name and likeness. And if you're, I mean, there's still Chris Webber jerseys that sell. And he went there in the early 90s. You know what I mean? We saw O'Bannon. Ed O'Bannon was like, nah, dude, that's why a lot of these NCAA games have gone away. Cause it's like, dude, you're making money off my name. Everybody knows that's me. Even if you try to go like they used to go kind of vague early, everybody knows that that's my number. Like, dude, like everybody knows that's me and you're still making money off me. And I'm not under those NCAA rules anymore. Why in the world wouldn't I be able to get paid off it now? Every other business, that's how it goes. It's called trademarking and all that type of stuff. So I think they got to do it in a variety of ways. And like I said, the escrow account, the bank account, money just keeps piling up in there. And maybe you get stipends, you know, per month or whatever. They definitely got to figure this out because, I, as much as I love college basketball, which I do, we saw what just going right to the pros did to the league and it did to young players as well. Because they weren't all, most of them, the vast majority of them weren't McGrady, weren't Kobe, and weren't KG. Most of them weren't. And some of them actually, because of the hustle and bustle and the traveling and the pressure and all that stuff, some of them had issues beyond that that they may have not had going and just going to college. You know what I mean? So, like I said, you could also see it helped college to an extent when they changed it in 2003 because we got to see – a year of Durant, we got to see Carmelo, we got to see some of these players, and it's helped some of these freshmen that normally would go anyway or would have gone maybe, you know, like straight out of high school. They realize in freshman year, they go through the year, and then they realize, oh, maybe I'm not – I need to work on some stuff. And, you know, they've improved the draft process a little bit where you can put your name in there, you can get a lot more information, you can do the workouts, and then you can be like, okay, I don't think I'm going to get drafted. They got it to the point where you, if you don't get drafted in the first two rounds, because there's only two rounds, I should say anyway, that you can go back to college. I like some of the tweaks, but now it's time to do major tweaks, because if not, this is going to affect college basketball more than the one and done's in my mind. But it's a much better deal for the players because, like I said, you're getting $125,000 for education potentially up to. It matters where you go. But you can pay, you know, and then let's say, well, you got $500,000 right off the bat anyway. Well, you can pay for the rest. Even if you went to an expensive, a super expensive school, that pays for most of it. You know what I mean? So that's $25,000 a year for school. So, you know, all these billions of, by the way, untaxed dollars that the NCAA have set up with, and they've run it with rules, not laws. These are not laws. When you take money, that's not, you're not breaking a law. You're breaking a rule. When Tiger Woods, and this is off basketball, but when Tiger Woods sat down with Jack Nicholson to pick his brain when he was in college at Stanford, and Jack flipped the bill because he's a college student, and he got in trouble. He got suspended. That's just silly, dude. It makes no sense. It's beyond green. So I'm kind of, as much as I love college basketball, I'm glad that there's actually some competition to force them to change their ways.
Yeah, it's never bad to have a different idea, kind of, you know, what goes against the idea of a monopoly in our country. Obviously, the monopoly idea by the NCAA, I mean, they've been winning the board game for a long, long, long time. And again, this is not some, you know, dirty backdoor deal or anything. Like, this is all legit. Like, this is an option players can take. Obviously, the NCAA was a little bit too ignorant to see it, and now this kid is doing it. But again, it's a win-win for him. And I was also saying, actually, let me go over the one weird thing that will happen, and then I'll go to a positive. We can move on or whatever. The weird thing is that, okay, so they basically created this LA team for all these kids doing it this year. But are you going to have simply one or two teams that will just be up-and-coming high school kids?
Now it's going to be a mix of veterans and young players, they said.
Okay, well, because you really can't – but are they going to create a new team each year? You know, like you can't go into the G League of the Warriors and say, hey, you know, these kids coming out of high school are going to be on your team. Like, no, screw y'all. Like, we have our – not that the Warriors wouldn't want to have talented kids, but, you know, every NBA team, and I just use the Warriors because that's my team, has their essential farm league. Like, they have their G League how they want it to be. And a lot of times in basketball, whether it be injuries or whatever, or trades, like, a lot of times those G League guys will sign a 10-day contract and you'll come up and play. So, again, I love this idea.
This is something separate. They're not going to be actually in the league per se. They're going to play some of the games, but they're also going to play national teams from other countries. So it's a mixture. It's scrimmages against D or G League teams. So this is like a special little team that's going to be built.
Well, and I guess I'm just curious, you know, assuming this goes well, like I think it will, I'll be curious to see how it continues to expand or what the plan is moving forward for it. But nonetheless, it's still an awesome idea. And I guess my last point is the fact that, okay, so we got this league set up. I think this is awesome from the perspective of if you're a GM for an NBA team, you know, like I was telling Chris before, for example, I mean, and I know that again, I'm using my boys and this is a kind of a 1 in 1,000 player, 1 in 1,000,000, but Stephen Curry, for example, you know, Ed Davidson, people didn't really know who he was until he went on his little 4-game run in March Madness. So if you are a potential Curry or a player who maybe wasn't going to a blue blood school, but is still good enough to make this jump, you're now going to be viewed by NBA guys who see you before, you know, they're like, oh man, how did we let Curry slip to 17? Well, no, now you're going to be getting viewed – at a higher level. So I do think that this could be an avenue for people who maybe weren't going to the best school, but maybe someone catches their eye. This will really help people like realize, hey, this kid is a stud. Like,
sure,
dude, I know I'm kind of contradicting myself because you might say, well, what the hell are you talking about? If a kid was going to go to Northern Iowa or Davidson, how the hell would he make this league? Well, maybe some pros, maybe some high school scout or college scout sees him and is like, dude, come to the league. So I think it opens up the avenues for kids who now it's like, I don't have to go to Kentucky just to get myself in the door for being a one and done. Now this is like, dude, anyone in the country, if you're good, this is a chance for you to excel. And again, I think it does a huge favor to the NBA draft process, because the one knock that did cause some issues of these one and dones or kids going from high school to pros were these teams were investing a shitload of money and these guys were turning it into bust. Now, again, obviously KG, not a bust at all, the guys in the Hall of Fame, but there was somewhat of a risk of, dude, you know, he looked good in high school, but now we draft him for the second overall pick, and now the guy flames out.
It's like four guys, basically, dude. LeBron, McGrady, Kobe, and KG. Now, are there some other guys that had decent careers? Yeah, but those are the four that stood out, you know. And you're talking from 95 to 03. So in the 8 years, that's basically what you got out of that. I mean, there, like I said, there was some other one. Stevenson, I think. Had an up and down career. There was some guys, but.
Yeah, I just think that this process, the way it's set up, again, you're not going to college, but so you're getting a much better view. And obviously NBA people are smart. They're going to put scouts on this league now too, to make it more beneficial for their team. So I love the idea. It's kind of fitting that after they did the Scheme documentary on HBO,
right.
And that guy is spilling his guts about how corrupt the system is. You know, he's got to be smiling his ass off at home, like, oh, you know, look at this. Maybe this is some karma for me opening up the floodgates. Now there's another window to make the NCAA suffer. So, you know, he's fist pumping at home a little bit, Chris, about this.
and I also like it because it's not like the NFL and the college football, where you could tell the NBA does want to make sure, because the NBA, you know, the NBA, the one and dones, or just straight out, It was tougher to deal with rather than a guy that has to be in college for 3 years anyway. Obviously, that's the case in college football. You got to be 21. So they've never really had that issue as much. They still got some, you know, coming out early issues that they gotta address. But the NFL just doesn't give two shits. Whereas the NBA, I think it's the fact that they made this specialized team. My guess is they're going to have some older coaches that maybe can't keep up with the NBA schedule. Maybe it's a mix of young and old coaches. I'm not really sure. But they're going to specialize in developing these youngsters. They're not just going to throw them to the wolves or anything like that. But there was another study real quick that this was on this by Brian Fisher. It's on College Football Talk. And it said a study says a five-star recruit is worth an average of $650,000 a year to a major program. That's just the average, you know what I mean? So obviously, you know, you got to start figuring this stuff out. But yeah, I like it, man. I do like it. And I want my college, you know, we've talked about some of these. I want my college basketball to be, you know, deep as possible, but at the same time, it hasn't been already anyway. You know, we've been doing – it's not – you know, going back to those – talking about that UNLV club, talking about the Fab Five, like all these guys – like Jordan, you know, he stayed till his junior year. Like you talk about these guys. I just talk about Larry Bird. He stayed that extra year. Like, you know, he used to be so much deeper, and that's why it was harder to get – because, you know, it's so deep in the draft for that first round. And then when you got in the league, you still – a lot of players had to still develop into something. So it's just a much deeper draft in general. Real quick, as far as you're talking about the COVID thing and everything like that, there was a basketball game, I believe, in Indiana, a big sectional game. And it had – 2,800 folks in the building, the It's an electric atmosphere. This was early March, March 6th, at the Lawrence Center. It was a sectional semifinal. I think it said a 24 people tested positive, but out of that game, in the audience, 5 people died out of that game. So, and this is when it wasn't even crazy popping off yet, as far as we knew, you know, because it's March 6th. It was popping off, but I don't know. You know, this stuff is, it's not, we're not trying to get political. We're not trying to do this. We're not trying to do that. But, you know, there's a, it's a wide ranging topic. My thing is, you know, if a president's in a government's going to put out guidelines and then the states like Minnesota and Michigan can't open under those guidelines, I do have a problem with the president going, all right, dude, free that state, but we can't free our state because we're going under your guidelines, dude. So the double talk is what kills me right now. It's just like, let's just get all on the same page. Every state's a little different, even parts, counties, right? Like Iowa is all of a sudden, they got more cases than Minnesota now. But, you know, it's not everywhere. So in one or, I think, 2 counties, they closed those counties down. You know, so it doesn't have to be the whole state and whatnot, but you got 5 people dead at a basketball game. And that's what I say, 2,800. Imagine what March Madness alone, subways, trains, airplanes, just imagine all this stuff that we normally do in our country. And like I said, throw in March Madness and all these shows that you go to and, you know, music acts and all that. That would have spread it like mad fire, dude. I mean, come on. Let's be honest about that. Now, before we get to the gotcha questions, let's talk about this freaking Last Dance. And we mentioned, you know, I wasn't sure about that either. I thought it was like a Michael Jordan documentary, right? Like the Last Dance, like we're going to put his whole career, you know, the last chapter in a sense. And then, like you said, they started really focusing on that last year together for the three-peat. And I thought, man, 10 episodes, that's a, like, I know they got a lot of, you know, unreleased footage, but how much do they have? But I love how they're flashing back and forth and forth and back. I really like that they're doing that. I liked in the second episode they already got to Pippen and started talking about that. Right off the bat, Jerry Krause, I knew he was an idiot back then. But just all these extra layers, it's really unbelievable how much of an idiot Krause is. I mean, to even sit there and say when you sign the coach who's on 5 championships, 2 in a row, and trying to get the back-to-back 3, this is going to be your last run, and basically saying that to Pip too. I mean, how in the world they had that activity for the team outing, and they didn't even invite the coach. They invited Tim Floyd from Iowa State, who turned out to be the coach. I mean, this freaking guy. Oh, my God. I mean, Scottie Pippen, I knew he was underpaid back then. I just don't remember the stats. But, dude, Pippen is 2nd in scoring. 2nd in rebounds, 2nd in minutes played. We know who was 2nd to in 2 of those categories. 1st in steals, 1st in assists, but yet he's 6th in pay. And I'm not talking about the league. Oh, no. He's the 6th highest paid player on the fucking Bulls, dude, and 122nd in pay. In the NBA, how did you not fix that? I'll never know. And this mad genius who he thought he was, a damn good GM. I mean, you are building a team around Michael, so that's a great place to start. One of the best, if not hands down, the best player ever to play the game. You know, I give him credit for building the team around it. Yeah, you had to get the right pieces, but let's be honest. You're building it around Jordan, dude. Like, and you're building it around a time where free agency wasn't the same thing. It wasn't as deep a trap. Like, it's just unbelievable how Jerry Krause is such an idiot. And you saw, you know, after everybody left, he was out after 2003.
Yeah, that was one of my takeaways because, I mean, I remember, like we were saying before the show, being 35, like I was getting into sports. I remember I loved watching the Knicks, Heat, Knicks, Pacers. I was a Knicks guy. And obviously, at the end of those years, besides the baseball years, Jordan was always the one cutting down the nets. But I didn't recall or I didn't follow it as closely, you know, as I do now. And obviously, back then, you know, you pretty much had SportsCenter, but there was no Twitter. I mean, if we would have had Twitter back then, like Twitter would have been losing their minds, like blasting Krause and supporting Pippen. That would have been like a big media story.
But, yeah, dude, a hashtag that would have ran for like 8 months.
Yeah. But you know, back then, you know, I didn't live in Chicago. My parents weren't huge Bulls fans or anything. Like I watched the game and, you know, I wasn't quite old enough to comprehend that. But I mean, when you see the story, you know, Pippen basically, you know, going into his last year, essentially delayed a foot surgery, which he needed, he had to have. But, you know, he's like, you know, why am I going to ruin my whole summer in rehab when I can do it when the season starts? And even Jordan was like, dude, I was effing pissed off. But,
right, of course.
You know, but because, you know, he wanted to win at a high cost as much as anyone. But Phil Jackson even said, I get it, man. Like, every player has their own voice. Pippen had done all we'd asked of him. You know, was
yeah,
I happy?
Yeah, Mike's making $35 million a year, too, so it's a little bit easier for him to say that, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, but he's like, was I happy? Did it? No, but did I understand it? Completely. So if Phil Jackson understood why he did it, you know, who are you going to argue with? But not to mention, Phil was told, hey, this is your last year. Like I was telling you before the show, imagine if the Warriors, like literally tomorrow on the news, said, you know what, Steve Kerr, you won us 3 titles in 5 years or 6 years now, but we were bad this year. Next year's your last year. Even though you're going to have Steph, Clay, and Dre back next year, I just want to inform you that you'll be done coaching Golden State following our next season. Like, people would lose their shit. Like, it's one thing nowadays to get fired if you suck at your job, but if you, and again, I'm just using my team as an example, if you were to tell Steve Kerr tomorrow on ESPN, hey, this is your last year, come, we didn't like how you did, or Draymond and Clay are getting old, like, you know, you've had a good run, thanks for your time, we need to go a different direction, I think there would be a just Twitter would lose their shit. Like, people like Zach Lowe and Windhorst, all those NBA people, Rachel Nichols, would trying to figure out, you know, did Steve Kerr do something illegal? Is there some plot going on? Like, has he committed, you know, arson? Like, has he killed someone? Like, every idea in your head would be the fact that what did Steve Kerr do to cause this? Not the fact that, hey, the Dubs GM just wants to move on because he thinks people are getting old. Like, it just blows my mind. And, you know, as you said, how can you truly say a team is getting old and you know the future is about to be grim when they've won you the past 5 out of 7 titles? You know, there is something to be said for older teams making a run. Like, you know, that Lakers team to have Malone and Payton, that was kind of like a sure. 1 year run at it, which completely made sense. I could completely understand if, you know, dude, that was not going to be a great team the next year. Or sometimes you see in hockey, like Ray Bourque from Boston got traded to the Avalanche trying to win a cup. Like, that was kind of a gesture from the Bruins to, dude, you know, you're almost done. Makes sense. But what part of the Bulls were like, God, guys, next year we're going to win about 35 games. It's
Jordan's
been real.
Jordan's falling off, dude. He can't even get a shot. Like, Pip ain't no good. Who coach? We need to send him back to Europe. Like, come on.
I mean, we got the best rebounder, you know, maybe to ever play the game. But, yeah, you know, things are looking down. So, hey, Phil, it's been real, but you're gone this year. And Pippen, you know, God forbid they could have restructured a deal or, you know, so, hey, that to me made it enjoyable. I mean, I didn't know the fact that in Jordan's essentially first ever playoff run, the dude dropped fucking 63 points in Boston, essentially against like 4 future Hall of Famers.
Off of a 49-point game, too.
Who were all in an interview basically saying, we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Bird, McHale, Walton were like, and it's funny, they said Walton got pissed because guys got in foul trouble, so he had to try to cover Jordan.
Yeah, like, dude, stop switching. Don't switch on me, motherfucker.
Yeah, totally, dude.
You see, so, Larry Bird and Magic both are like, yeah, I mean, he's the best player. It's not really close. It's not close, you know?
aside from the politics of the Bulls, it was fun to watch a dude just jumper after jumper after jumper. And it, you know, you've said this a long time, and I kind of forgot about it a little because I didn't watch it much, quite as much of Jordan as you. But to if he was playing nowadays, like, dude, you know, if you were cruising around dropping 63 on people who are future Hall of Famers in your second ever playoff game, he could have easily been dropping 63, you know, nowadays. Because hell, it would have been insane to see. So it is fun, aside from the angles of the. How the team was ran, just to simply see some highlights, you know, because all those guys are like, dude, he scored 60. Like, what were we supposed to do? and those are some of the best guys to ever play in the NBA. I don't care if you hate the Celtics or not. Like, those are Hall of Fame, like, star players. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, they say that was their best team, a mixture of guys, old, some in their prime. But yeah. But, I remember watching that game, dude. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and I remember watching with, like, my uncle, because we had, like, a little family gathering, and my grandpa, my uncle, a couple other people watching it. We're just seeing them go off, and we're like, oh, my God, Jordan is just nuts. And I had forgotten about the seven-minute shit. Like, you know, there's a 90% chance you'd be okay, 10%, and your career's over. Nowadays, he wouldn't even see the court anyway, no matter what the player wanted to do. There's no way. And I wouldn't have let him see the court back then either, to be honest, you know. I did like how he's like, you know what, just give me 14 minutes, dude, straight up. Let's get to the end of the game and give me 14 minutes. I'm going off. You know what I mean? Like, liked how he did that. But also, that day, though, you notice how at the end they said, well, we just stuck to the game plan. We were deeper, we were better, and we won the game. You know, so you're like, yeah, I mean, they won the game, even on that 49 point where they actually did beat them by like 15 or 20. But I remember that going, wow, dude, when this dude gets a squad around him, and, you know, they had Oaktree, they had Oakley at the time, but they tweaked some stuff, got Horace Grant, obviously Pippen. Another thing about Pippen, which people vastly freaking underrate, but I had, and here's another detail that I love that I didn't know. He was not only did he go to a super small school, like Arkansas State / River Bush / Little Falls Technical College. You know, it was a little ass school. Freshman year, he was a manager, dude. Could you imagine you have Scottie Pippen as a manager of your squad, and it's not Kentucky or something like that, and it's not the freshman rules where, you know, even Kareem had to sit a year on the freshman rules back in the day? Like, I had no clue. Most of us know a lot about Jordan, and we know he's actually an asshole in some ways, and we know that that stuff's going to come out even more. And, you know, we know a lot of things. Even the way he talked to the press nowadays, if he talked to the press that way, people would be like, oh, he's dick, he's this, he's that. He would be looked at a lot differently. People would be filming him in Atlantic City. Oh, he's gambling again. Jordan's gambling again. It's 4 in the morning. Oh, he's got a game tomorrow night in New Jersey. You know, they'd be on his ass. But just the Pippen thing, I had no clue it was like that. But we know, like I said, we know that he didn't make his varsity squad. And we know the next year he went off. And, you know, because even in his Hall of Fame induction speech, he still found a way to shit on his high school coach, which is just Jordan. That's how he is. One more thing to wrap it up real quick about that G League thing. They have there's a dude, a 4-star for 2020, Che Evans, who actually is already committed to San Diego State. He got two offers, six figures, one from that NBA G League and a Spanish pro team, too. So that could be another player. There's also another 5-star let's see, the G League also had a conference call with 5-star Briarcrest guard Kennedy Chandler with him and his parents. So there's another there might be more joining before the next show. You know what I'm saying?
Again, I enjoy a new angle to look at it. And again, hey, those kids, you're getting paid a year earlier, and you're getting just as good of experience. You may miss out on the life of the college basketball being the big man on campus. I guess that would one negative, which is fair. When I was listening to some people talk this weekend on like Sport Network, said, you know, some people said like Zion like really wanted to come back to Duke for another year just because he loved it there so much. So there are these guys who, you know, you're on campus and you got a lot of friends. You're kind of, you know, living your life on your own now. So that would be fun. But from a financial standpoint and putting yourself where you are and, you know, not risk, you know, and looking at health and all those angles. Yeah, obviously it's a great angle. And if you're a college coach, now you got, you know, to step up the recruiting game a little bit, which probably means dumping out a little more cash. You know, if you're going for these top tier players, you know, that you might have to give the extra 15 or 20,000 or do something, you know. And again, a lot of these smaller schools, Chris, won't be affected because if you're a
because they weren't going to them anyway.
No, the if you're like the number seventh person on like Illinois' recruiting list, like Illinois is still probably going to get you or something, you know, you're not going to go to this league, but if you're getting in these top studs, you got to step up your game. So yeah, it'll be fascinating to see. And I guess for my last point on Jordan, I kind of want to see how this keeps going. You know, I know some people are like, hey, it's 20 hours. That's too long. It's like, well, first off, what the hell do you got to watch?
10 hours, isn't it?
I heard 20.
I thought there was 10 episodes. Keep going.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's 10 nights of 2 episodes each.
That's what it is.
But it'll be fun to see them break this down, you know, like, it seems like you're going to kind of hit on each player. I can't wait for the episode when they hit on Rodman. That'll be a fascinating 2 hours of television. It's fun. It's, as a sports fan, it gives us something to talk about. And if you're a basketball fan, it kind of, you know, like a lot of people my age or younger, you know, all these kids who have always seen LeBron and Kobe, it's like, dude, I know that's your boy, but we're going to show you videos now of who this guy named Jordan was that your dad always told you is the GOAT. Like, let's show you some proof that he is just as good as Kobe or LeBron or better. So it takes some notes, you know, so that from that angle, that's kind of fun too.
Yeah. And it's twice a week it's 10 episodes. It is 10 episodes. It goes from April 19th to May 17th. So it's 10 episodes, two a night on Sundays.
Oh, okay. That
20 hours is a long friggin'
time. I heard from multiple people that it was 20. So that's why people must have maybe misspoke, but cause that was the huge breaking news when it first leaked out that there was going to be 20 episodes. But again, I'm still happy with 10. 10's, it gives me something to watch. It's really enjoyable and gives us something to talk about too.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5 nights. And they haven't said that they're going to – they said it's two a Sunday, so.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
I think 20 would be over – you know, probably overdoing it too, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Right now, the 6.1 million viewers have watched the first two episodes, instantly becoming the most watched documentary in ESPN history, obviously. And this shit wasn't even on ABC. You know, if they would have put it on ABC, it would have popped off even more.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I wonder if some of them are going to be. No, they probably are like, hey, dude, we need all we can get on ESPN. You gotta put them all on ESPN. I bet you they're all on ESPN. Although I wouldn't doubt if they put some of them on ABC. I don't know. But, yeah, we'll have a weekly segment because there's two of them a week. So we'll have a weekly segment. And before we close down the show, let's get a couple of these questions going on. And are they for both of us or just me this week?
Just for you. Next week I will make us a blind.
Okay, yeah, it's me and
Gil. I will make us a blind quiz for us to take. But a lot of these questions actually tie into teams that we have discussed in prior shows of late. Okay.
Gotcha.
So which school is the only university to make it to 4 championship title games and never lose?
UCLA.
Wrong, but this is
San Francisco.
You're on the wrong coast. You've actually broken this team down yourself.
Four championships in a row?
No. I'm just saying they're simple. Their championship record is 4-0. They've never lost a title game.
Oh, well, okay. That threw me off because you said four in a row.
Oh, sorry. No,
it'd have to be UCLA or San Francisco.
Oh, no.
Okay, so they've been to the championship four times. They've won it every time.
Yes, sir, and you've talked about this team on the show.
UConn.
Very good.
Hey.
All right, let's see. This is obviously a blue blood school question. What school has made the most appearances in the Final Four?
God, I mean,
answers obviously are Carolina, Kentucky, Duke, or Kansas.
I think it's Kansas.
It's actually my Carolina Tar Heels.
It is
18 appearances in the Final Four.
Oh wow! Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Here's the fact. I'm not gonna make this a question because it'd be super hard. But I never knew this until today. North Carolina State in 1947 made it a thing to cut down the nets. NC State Wolfpack coach Everett Case is credited with the tradition of cutting down the nets after his Wolfpack won the Southern Conference in 1947.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's kind of like, oh, shit, I learned something new today. Like, that dude in 47 was the first guy to ever do it. You know, what made him do that, I don't know. But, you know, nowadays you always see, you know, when a team wins, especially a small school team wins a conference title, cut down the nets. Obviously, March Madness, that's always one of the last images CBS always shows. But, yeah, that started in 1947 by the Wolfpack coach Everett Case. So that
Yeah, I mean, they
kinda
cut them in the regional, too.
Yeah,
you know, if you get out of your region, you cut them too. So that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. I never would have guessed that.
Oh, hell no. That would have been me being a complete prick. let's go back to a blue blood question. A few more will be done. This school has the most wins in March Madness. Again, Carolina, Kentucky, Duke, or Kansas.
Now, let me talk it out, okay?
Sure.
I believe it's either Kansas or Kentucky. And this is just most wins in March Madness tournament, just in general, right?
And I'll tell you, of the two you limited down to, one of those is correct. Yes. Okay. Just March Madness wins.
God, is it Kentucky or Kansas? I feel like I learned this or I saw the stat, and that's maybe why I need your Kansas before. God, I don't remember. I'm going to say Kansas.
Kentucky.
Fucking Wildcats. All right. I knew it was one of those two. At least I narrowed it down.
I'll give you one more random one, one more realistic one, then we'll break it down. Which team was the number one seed 3 years in a row and never won a game? Here is a fun fact.
It would have to be in the 32, field of 32.
The number one team, DePaul, from 80 to 82, they were the number one seed all 3 years in a row, and you used to get a bye. In the second round, they were defeated 3 years in a row by UCLA, St. Joe's, and Boston College. So, technically, they were once you never won a game for 3 years in a row. That again, kind of just a fascinating stat to have it, you know, a bar discussion with your boys or try to win a bet.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I remember reading something about DePaul years ago like that, but I wouldn't have guessed right there because I forgot the bye. I was thinking it was 32 teams and they just went to that. I
so
forgot
honestly,
about that.
You know, you never
yeah, it wasn't
lost to a – well, it didn't lose to a 16.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's a good one. All right, one more.
And
let's shut it down.
Lastly, what was the first conference to ever have three teams in a Final Four?
My gut says, first ever, though. I was going to say Big East for sure, but, you know, it's either the
Always go with your gut. I wasn't really changed. It was the Big East in 1985. They had
Villanova,
Georgetown, and St. John's.
Yep. I remember that one. Okay. And then I think the next team to do it was, I feel like the conference was, I think the Big Ten did it. Did the Pac-12 do it? I don't think so. UCLA, that doesn't even make sense. All right, cool. Yeah, nice. Sweet.
I like the net one because I'm going to use that one just to, that's that random crazy ass act. And then the one seed losing 3 years in a row. It's tricky. It's true. Really tricky. But they used to get a bye back in the day. So yeah. Next
day, it used to be the NIT too, the National Invitational Tournament. True. Was actually the better one.
You're right. Next week, for a little preview, I'm going to break down why I became a Warriors fan. I'll have a nice little segment on when they upset the Mavs in 2007, when I was kind of like, man, this is a team I can get behind because they're pretty fun to watch. So that'll be my little go-to next week. I know Chris is going to also break down the Houston Rockets, who will obviously get some coverage on the Jordan documentary, because for his years when he went to baseball, that was a team that took advantage of that time.
Yep, back-to-back, 94-95. And the question is, could the 94-95 back-to-back champs beat the 91-92-93? We're not talking 96, that the best team ever or whatever, or 97-98. We're talking about it before, because by that time, Houston had gotten a little bit older. They started aging. Then they got Barkley, who was aging. Because remember, Barkley always, you know, always talks shit about people going to other teams, but Barkley chased it. He tried to get with old-ass Akeem and Clyde and get one, too. Tried to chase it with Scottie Pippen, too, in Portland. So that's always nonsense. And I'll also have my best college player rant, because I see a whole bunch of ignorance on Twitter. Go figure. I can't believe that.
All right, we'll be back next week. I'm sure we will have a little bit of more breaking news on the essential new G League for angle for college college age kids. That'll be a very fascinating story. And hopefully we'll have some positive news maybe from the sport world on a realistic timeline of some sort for us to get excited about. I know Adam Silver is doing all he can for the NBA in a realistic fashion. It'll be hopefully positive news to share during these weird times. So until then, thanks as always for listening. We love the support. We're hoping that we can do something at this point to help you get through this. And as always, stay safe. Enjoy time with your family, because you really can't do much else now. The boys are out tonight. Peace.